Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 15, text 41. Vacham juhava manasi. Vacham juhava manasi. Tat prana itade chatam. Tat prana itade chatam. Mrityavapanam sotsargam. Mrityavapanam sotsargam. Tam prachate hiya ahohavit. Tam prachate yajohavit. Vacham juhava manasi. Tat prana itade chatam. Mrityavapanam sotsargam. Tam prachate yajohavit. Others? Vaishnavis. Vacham, speeches. Juhava, relinquished. Manasi, into the mind. Tat prane, mind into breathing. Itade cha, other senses also. Tam, into that. Mrityo, into death. Apanam, breathing. Su utsargam, with all dedication. Tam, that. Panchatve, into the body made of five elements. He, certainly. Ajohavit, amalgamated it. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Then He amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind, then the mind into life, the life into breathing, his total existence into the embodiment of the five elements and his body into death. Then, as pure self, he became free from the material conception of life. Purport. Maharaj Yudhisthira, like his brother Arjuna, began to concentrate and gradually became freed from all material bondage. First, he concentrated all the actions of the senses and amalgamated them into the mind. Or in other words, he turned his mind toward the transcendental service of the Lord. He prayed that since all material activities are performed by the mind in terms of actions and reactions of the material senses, and since he was going back to Godhead, the mind would wind up its material activities and be turned towards the transcendental service of the Lord. There was no longer a need for material activities. Actually, the activities of the mind cannot be stopped, for they are the reflection of the eternal soul. But the quality of the activities can be changed from matter to the transcendental service of the Lord. The material color of the mind is changed when one washes it from the contaminations of life-breathing and thereby frees it from the contamination of repeated births and deaths and situates it in pure spiritual life. All is manifested by the temporary embodiment of the material body, which is a production of the mind at the time of death. And if the mind is purified by practice of transcendental loving service of the Lord and is constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no chance of the mind's producing another material body after death. It will be freed from absorption and material contamination. The pure soul will be able to return home back to Godhead. Om Aginata Mananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupa Gadamayam Dadapti Swaparantikam. So the Pandavas here are preparing to go back to Godhead. It looks like Maharaj Yudhisthira is following in the footsteps of Arjuna. He's doing what he needs to do to get ready for that final moment of giving up the material body, fixing his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and going back to Godhead. So, obviously, this is a lesson for us. We're also supposed to be trying to be in this consciousness of thinking, remembering the philosophy, remembering the goal of what we should be doing. I had a nice experience yesterday of somebody who was doing that, and I was impressed by that, and I'm glad to see he's not here, so I don't have to want to embarrass him by relating this story. So I got back from traveling Sankirtan yesterday. We got back 6:30, something like that. And after doing a few things, I went to the restaurant just before it was closing. So, and then I looked around, and Parvat Muni was sitting there at a table with two other devotees, Anthony and Stephen. And so, you know, I said, okay, I'm just going to grab some prasadam, and I'll come and join you. So I did, and I sat down at the table, and they said, so he asked me, how was the trip? And I said, you know, I wasn't really ready to kind of give a whole explanation. I was just off the top, and I said, well, it was really nice. I said, you know, he asked me, did you drive all the way? I said, yeah, we drove. We started on Thursday evening, and then we just kept going on Friday, and we pretty much drove the whole thing on Friday. So I started describing how, well, you know, when you're up there in Washington and Oregon, it's really green. I mean, and when you come down, when you get below Mount Shasta and Lake Shasta, it all starts getting very dry, and it's, you know, California is really just like a desert. I mean, the Oregon and Washington, as far as beauty goes, leaves California for dead. And you know, I was really absorbed in that, to be honest with you. I was just thinking about how, wow, what a difference. You know, what a difference between Oregon and Washington, you know, how it looks and how California looks. And so anyway, so I said that to him. His immediate reaction was, knee-jerk reaction was, yeah, and just think how beautiful the spiritual world must be. And then it didn't hit at first. And then I kept going. And I was elaborating upon, yeah, and we saw this and that. And he goes, same thing. And he came back and said, yeah, but just think how beautiful the spiritual world must be. And then it hit me. And I realized, wow, that's Krishna consciousness. That's the proper response. He's not getting absorbed in the attractions of the material world. He's absorbed in the philosophy. And he's absorbed in what is important, remembering Krishna, remembering what we're supposed to be doing with this human form of life. And, you know, he's thinking He was Shastra Chakshus. He was seeing what I was saying through the eyes of the scripture. Yeah, okay, there's some beauty here, wonderful, but actually the real beauty is in the spiritual world. And I was really impressed by that. So I thought that was, really interesting. And just kind of gave me that an impetus or an inspiration to, I have to try to become more internally absorbed, more less attracted, less affected and influenced by, what I'm seeing around me, which may be attractive, may not. It's not important one way or the other. The real thing is to become internally absorbed, to become absorbed in the philosophy and all the different, things that Prabhupada has given us to do. And actually, it's the whole process of becoming Krishna conscious by the mercy of Prabhupada and the predecessor acharyas has been made extremely simple as a concession for the people in the age of Kali Yuga, who generally speaking tend to be very attracted by the external features, external beauty, etc. And so the process has been simplified to the point of it's really just a matter of what you do with your tongue. And Prabhupada on many, many occasions would make this point that the tongue has two functions. One is tasting and one is vibrating. So I was analyzing, I was thinking about this the other day, and I analyzed it and said, actually, all you have to do, and Prabhupada said this in so many different words, you just have to make sure that your tongue is only tasting prasadam and vibrating prasadam. Now, we can easily understand what it means to taste prasadam. What does it mean to vibrate prasadam? Well, to vibrate prasadam means to vibrate, just like prasadam that we taste, it's sacred because it's been offered to Krishna. It's now sanctified. It's taken on a spiritual quality to it. Okay? So to vibrate prasadam means that you're producing sound vibrations that are sacred, that are sanctified, like the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is non-different from Krishna, like what Prabhupada's written here in these books. That's sacred vibration. It's pure transcendental sound vibration. And then expanding upon that as one becomes more engaged in devotional service and purified and more advanced, then when you talk about Krishna's service, that's also prasadam, that's vibrating prasadam. So the idea is to always try to regulate your life in such a way that everything is one of those two things. You're either tasting prasadam or you're vibrating prasadam. It means every word that comes out of your mouth is something transcendental. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the philosophy, talking about Krishna's service, glorifying devotees, like that. And if we practice like that, then we become purified. Tak Shri Krishna Namadi, Nabhaved Guraya Mindade, Sevan Mukhe Hijivado Svayame Vasparatira, that Krishna cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. He can only be understood by devotional service. Sevan Mukhe, he means certainly, Jivado, beginning with the tongue. So that's the program. That's the program. It is simple, but when you try to do it, you realize it's not that simple. It requires actually, you really have to make a concerted effort to do it. But, and this is actually something that's not unique to our tradition. When I was reflecting upon this a couple days ago, I remembered something, just an incident, that in Australia many, many years ago, I was talking about this to a devotee there, and he said, what the heart is full of, the tongue will vibrate, or the mouth. So I looked that up. I thought to myself, that made sense, and I looked it up, and actually it's something from the Bible. It was something from, can't remember where now, Luke, I believe, yes, 6:35 or something like that. And it was saying something, what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. So, and it works the other way around too. See, what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks, and it works the other way around too. It's such an important relationship. What the heart is full of, the mouth speaks, and what the mouth speaks, the heart will become full of. Right? Both ways. It's a two-way street. So, on that note, so we have to be very careful about the vibrations. about the vibrations we're producing, and also, because we're not always talking, right? Like right now I'm talking, but you're listening, hopefully. And we have to be careful about the vibrations we receive, right? Vaisheshika Babu has a very nice example that he gives sometimes. He talks about the on the street there, there's these drains, you know, on, right along the sidewalk there. They're every few blocks or something like that. And now, in recent years, they put a sign right next to him that says, "No dumping, drains to the ocean." See? No dumping. No, don't put anything in here that you shouldn't, because it's going to pollute the ocean. We don't want to pollute the ocean. That's the purport. So in the same way, that's how our ears work. No dumping. Don't dump. We don't want any pollution going in there. Because why? Because it drains to the ocean. It goes to the heart. From the ear, it goes to the heart. And then you got it. You're stuck with it. So we have to be very careful about what we vibrate and the vibrations we transmit and the vibrations we receive. And according to what I've understood from reading Prabhupada's books and listening to many, many, many lectures and hearing him talk about this on many, many different occasions. Actually, at one point I compiled a notebook, because I went onto the Veda base and I typed in Sevan Mukhe Hijivado, or beginning with the tongue. And I just found all these different references where Prabhupada was just in lectures where he was making that point over and over and over again. And he would say things like, just by this simple austerity, Krishna will be conquered. So, yeah, so we have to do those two things. And in that way, if we do them seriously, we'll make substantial progress in our own Krishna consciousness. And above and beyond that, an important part of Prabhupada's program was that we try to share it with others. You know, that was Prabhupada's. Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada wanted us to be concerned not just about our own spiritual advancement, our own sadhana, our own purification, but that of others too. And that's also, by embracing that, by accepting that, that's also contributes to our own advancement. As many devotees, Savas Prabhu in particular, is very fond of quoting in classes that famous verse from the first canto, second chapter, text 16. Shushusho Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Katarucchi. Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtana Sevaya. That when you serve the great souls, great service is done. And by so doing, you acquire an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So the idea is that, well, by following Prabhupada's instruction of not just doing what we're doing, you know, performing our own sadhana, but you got to make the effort. By making that effort, it's an effort. It's a tapasya. It's an austerity. You know, it's something you might not feel like you really want to do, but you make yourself do it. I got to do something to serve the mission. I have to do something to help push forward the Krishna consciousness movement. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, you personally go out and stand on the street and try to hand somebody a book, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, of course, that's great. But just like in a war, in an army, there's so many different aspects to it. You know, you got your frontline soldiers, sure, but to put one troop in the field there like that with all his arms and his, you know, the weapons and the this and the that, is so much backup, so much support is required, you see? So that's all part of it. See, so like just World War II, you know, everybody in America was participating. If they weren't, you know, drafted and sent over there, they were in the factories making the weapons, and that's all required too. What's the use of having a soldier out there with no weapons? Useless, right? So the point is that each and every one of us has to be thinking, because, you know, we have to really clearly have it in our head, yeah, this is Prabhupada's program. Prabhupada's program wasn't just us becoming Krishna conscious. Prabhupada's program was, yeah, we have to really try to become Krishna conscious ourselves, and part of it is he wanted us to try to give it to other people. So we have to be thinking, what can I do? How can I contribute? What contribution can I make to the Sankirtan movement? You know, is it as a frontline soldier? Is it as a support person? Is whatever. And then you have to, you know, when you figure that out, then you just do it. And that's your shushusho. That's your service to the spiritual master. And then the result of that will be Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. As a result of surrendering like that, not only taking your own personal sadhana seriously, but taking the missions seriously, then the reciprocation is Krishna's in the heart, and he understands bhava grihijan ardhan. He knows how much sincerely you're trying to, in whatever way, you know, to try to help push forward the mission. And he destroys nasyami atma bhavashto gyana dipena bhashvata. He destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. That's the reciprocation. Krishna's in your heart. He purifies you. Vidami buddhi yogam tam yena mama puyanti. He gives you the intelligence how you can make your service more and more favorable. He destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. He gives you a taste. He gives you a taste for chanting. He gives you, when you read the books, when you sit down and read the books, you feel like, whoa, you know, this is, you get some realization. Even think, I had this experience a few days ago. I put on a lecture that I must have heard this lecture like a 100 times. I don't know about 100 times, but at least a dozen times. But for some reason, on this particular morning, it was playing, and I was going, whoa, that's deep. Whoa. And like it really had more impact than previously. Why? Because same thing, same words. It was the same lecture. But because I was hearing it with a more purified consciousness, because the last few days I'd been, say, working really hard on Sankirtan, you know, performing the jugya, you know, making the sacrifice, performing these, and as that the result is it purifies your consciousness. So then when you hear, you get more. You know, by Krishna's mercy, you get more realization. So that's important. And another point is that, so anyway, and a devotee's vision on the whole is this, that this whole world, this whole life, everything that's going on, it's like a virtual reality. It's like a virtual reality. Is there anybody here who hasn't been to like a video arcade or played one of those games, you know? I don't know. They used to call them pinball, but they're quite sophisticated. Anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so everybody knows. Okay. So this sticks out of my mind. I was at Newport Beach, and I was doing Sankirtan, actually, but I got a bit distracted, and I went into one of these video arcades. You know, and so somehow or another, I was watching some kid play it, and I got a chance to play one. I didn't put the money in, but I got a free game there. So I was playing it, and it was one with race cars, you know, and you're racing your car and the virtual car on the virtual track against all these other virtual race cars. And at first I didn't know what to do. I kept going off, crashing and going off the track, but you know, as long as you got time, you have a certain amount of time allowed, and during that time, even if you crash, you get back into it again. So I kept, you know, trying to figure it out, and then towards the end, I felt like I was getting the hang of it, and I was, you know, going around all the curves and doing really well and everything, passing a bunch of cars, and then all of a sudden, I thought like, okay, this is getting good, you know, and then it just stopped. It was over. Time was up. And I go, no, that can't be right, you know. I was shaking the machine and pressing all these buttons, and I wasn't prepared to put in any money, but I, you know, but it was just done. It was a virtual reality, but I got really absorbed in it. See, so this whole world is like a virtual reality. We're really absorbed in it. We think this is it. We think this is the real reality, but this is not the real reality. The real reality is the spiritual world. The real reality is Goloka Vrindavan, the Vaikuntha planets, pure devotional service to Krishna. That's the real reality. And what's going on here is this is a virtual reality, and this game is set up so that when you play this game well enough, when you do well enough in this virtual reality, then you get promoted back to the spiritual world. See? So that's what's going on here. In other words, this is actually, it's hard to conceive of it sometimes, but there's love underlying this whole thing. There's actually, just like with those video games, they didn't just plop themselves from the sky into that place, you know. Somebody designed it, the visual displays, the game, how it works, it's all design. And it's very incredible genius intelligence behind it. But just for the purpose of entertainment. But this is a virtual reality. It's been designed for not just for entertainment, primarily for education. Krishna has designed this whole material experience, gross and subtle. It's a virtual reality, and it's meant for educational purposes, ultimately. See? And the idea is that we're all playing in this virtual reality, and when we get it right, when we get, you know, play it well enough, will be released, will be allowed to come out of this virtual reality and experience the actual reality of spiritual life, of, you know, being an eternal servant of Krishna. So so that's what we have to always be mindful of. So everything is, it's a perfect program. You know, we're so fortunate. We're like in a total win-win situation. If you really understand what Prabhupada was all about and what his program was, when we perform our sadhana, that's a win. When we try to give Krishna consciousness to others, it's a win. You see, it's not like, oh, I really like sadhana, but preaching, I really prefer if I didn't have to, because I'd like to concentrate on my sadhana. I feel like I'm making more advancement when I'm preaching. That's just like some work I got to do to keep everybody happy. But when I do my chanting, that's when I'm really getting purified. No. Wrong understanding. Absolutely wrong understanding. The right understanding is, yeah, when you perform your sadhana, you're getting purified. And when you've duly performed your sadhana, you know, you've attended the morning program, which is sacrosanct. It's given to us by Prabhupada. It's perfect. Every aspect of the morning program is just exactly what you need, right? So when you perform your sadhana, you come to the morning program, you chant your rounds, you do your reading, you do all those different things that just like we do every day. And then when you go out and you engage in the preaching activities, that's an extension. That's the rest of the sadhana. You know, there's like the personal sadhana, and then you can consider it the social sadhana, whatever you want to call it. I can't think of a name right off the top of my head. But that's also purifying. So that's what I mean by win-win. You're winning when you do your personal sadhana, and you're winning even more. Actually, to be honest with you, in one sense, you can think of that as not something that's taking away from your purification and your advancement, but it's accelerating the process. Because on many different occasions, well, not on many different occasions, but at least on several occasions, I printed it out. Prabhupada said to be very quickly recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. So analyze that. He said it more than once. On other times he said to be very easily recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. So let's analyze that, okay? It's talking about being recognized by Krishna. That's our goal. That's what we're after. We want to be recognized by Krishna. Recognized by Krishna as a sincere, surrendered servant, so that he will free us from this material illusion. Okay? So that's the goal. That's what we want, to be recognized by Krishna. And Prabhupada's saying that to be not just quickly recognized or easily, but to be very, not just to be recognized, but to be quickly recognized, and not just to be quickly recognized, but to be very quickly recognized. See, so it's exactly what we're after, and Prabhupada's, you know, he's making it an open book secret. It's open book. This is how you do it. This is the best way to do it. Best way to do it is to preach. And the thing is this. And as far as preaching goes, another aspect of it is, unless you got to have the sadhana. You have to have the sadhana under your belt. I always feel like if I have my 16 rounds chanted, following the Four Eagle Principles, I got 16 rounds chanted, and I'm gone to the morning program, that you're ready. You're empowered. You're empowered. Don't let your mind tell you anything else. If you've chanted 16 rounds, if you've gone to the morning program, and you're following the regulative principles, and you got a belly full of prasadam, that's part of it, and you go out there, you are empowered. Don't get mental. Just approach people and be confident that, you know, Krishna is there with you. And whatever happens, happens. Initially, you may get nice results. You may not get any results. It doesn't really matter. You're a soldier in the field. That's what's important, to just be a soldier in the field. You know. But ultimately, you will get good results. Krishna will use you as his instrument, and you'll feel a lot of satisfaction. You feel a lot of reciprocation from the internal potency. You'll feel how Krishna is using you as an instrument to help engage people in Krishna and his service, and devotional service. So, that's how a devotee's thinking. And if even after all these things, if you're still feeling like, I don't know, you need something a little bit, I'll give you something a little bit more, okay, to put like the icing on the cake. Okay, so today is Saturday, so I guess it was Thursday night. We were in Portland. Thursday? No, sorry. Yeah, we were in Portland Thursday, but on Wednesday night, Ramapad Swami just happened to show up at Portland. It was a scheduled visit. We were there. So we went to an evening program and at some Grihastha's house. And at the subject was about the empathic communication. So he was talking about that, and he was talking about how the compassion of the Vaishnavas, and he was giving different examples of how Prabhupada was very compassionate like that. So anyway, so at the end of the class, you know, when he asked for questions, so I asked the question. I said, so aside from following the instructions of the spiritual master, is there anything else that we can do to accelerate the process of making ourselves eligible to be recipients of the compassion of these of the pure devotees, of the predecessor acharyas? What can we do to accelerate the process aside from just following the instructions, which obviously is key, super, absolutely essential, and without even like a second's hesitation, he went pray like that, and I realized that's the program. That is the program. The program is, and I'm going to read you something in a second that confirms this, right? That makes it completely shastric. The program is that you follow the instructions and you pray for the mercy, which is, if you analyze it, that's what we're doing. You know, we, in the morning, when we come together, we're chanting prayers to the spiritual master. You know, we're chanting prayers to the Supreme Lord. We're trying to follow the instructions and we're praying for the mercy. And this is the bona fide process, and it's the process that's been, engaged in by all devotees and even the big timers, the great acharyas. To give an example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Anshalila, chapter 1, text 4 and 5, he says, H.I. Goshai Kore, Sri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Shijiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. Then he goes on to say, H.I. Goshai Kore Chadana Vandan, Jaha Hoite, Bigna Nash, Abhishta Paran. And the translation for that is, he says, I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Shijiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. So this is what he's praying for. He says, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. So now Prabhupada in his purport, he kind of gives us further insight into that. He says, and for some reason Prabhupada, he talks about it in relation to preaching. He says, if one wants to benefit the entire world, he will certainly find persons like hogs and pigs who will put forward many impediments. That is natural. But if a devotee seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. But here it comes, and this is on the point that I was just making. But then Prabhupada says, nevertheless, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, so that means following their instructions. It could be six Goswamis, it's your spiritual master, predecessor acharyas, etc. The idea is you have to adhere to the lotus feet of these great niches, liberated personalities, follow their instructions, that's what it means to adhere to their lotus feet, and Prabhupada says, and pray for their mercy. And then the result will be all impediments will be annihilated, Bigna Nash, and the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. Abhishta Paran. Your real desire will be fulfilled. That's the program. That's the program. See? So devotees, when we're not chanting our rounds, when we're not at the program, when you're not out preaching, sit down, open up a song book, and chant a bhajan. Because the book we have, the song book, that is the prayers of these great personalities like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, etc., etc., etc. These are liberated souls. These are Nityasiddha devotees. They're liberated. They're not like, they made it, okay? And those songs, they're as good as Vedic mantras. Prabhupada said that. They're like Shabda Brahma. Specifically about Narottam Das Thakur, he said it's a simple Bengali language, but it's as good as the Vedic mantras. So, when you sit down and you chant those songs, you're like taking shelter of a perfect mood. You're taking shelter of perfect realization and the perfect mood, and it's very purifying. It's very purifying. So that's a good thing to do. So Okay, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, thank you.
So this isn't meant to be controversial or challenging, but just for clarification, if you're out preaching to someone or a group of people and they're favorable, they're liking what you're saying, and so that's a win-win. It's a win for you and it's a win for them. And then on another day you preach to someone and they turn out to be real demoniac, so you keep you try a little more, but they get more and more, their venom comes out, and at the end they may even, you know, attack you, or they go away real angry. So is that also a win-win?
Yeah, it's win-win. I kind of made that point in the class. Maybe said it very quickly. It's your soldier in the field. A soldier in the field is you know, becoming glorious, whether they're winning the battle or losing the battle because of the sacrifice, the risk he's taking and the sacrifice he's making. Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of a teller at the bank. You know, whether somebody comes and deposits money or somebody comes and withdraws money, if somebody comes and robs the bank, doesn't matter. That teller, if he's doing his job, he's being appreciated by his employees and he's paid and rewarded nonetheless. So in the same way, it's just a question of just doing what you're supposed to be doing. Whether really, in one sense, on one level, it doesn't matter to devotees whether the people are receptive or not. If you're out there and you're trying, you're getting purified. Krishna's appreciating that. He's recognizing that, and he's going to be reciprocating with that. Yeah,
I can understand that it's also a win for the devotee whether the person's favorable or not. But what about the person that's the demon or the unfavorable person? Is it a win for him?
Oh, is it a win for them?
Yeah, win-win.
Well, huh? Yeah, right. You know, yeah, I was going to say that. Well, it is said that, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of the sun. The sun is so powerful, the sun is so purifying, that whatever anything that comes in contact with the sun, even like when the, you know, out in the Mojave Desert, if there's some animal urinated on the desert there or something like that, and there's a big pool here, on a hot, sunny day, the sun will just scorch that thing, evaporate it, and just sterilize that whole thing. See, because that's the nature of the sun. So it's said that any contact with Krishna is good. You know, it's better to, even in the Bible, it says, be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. You know, it's just any contact with Krishna. The person has made a contact with the devotee. Even if they blaspheme a devotee, that's, you could say in one sense, that's better than if they never had any association with the devotee. Because something was there. Something was there, you know. So I would say, yeah, it's good for them to have made some contact with the devotee. Yeah.
That example that you gave about speak prasadam and eat prasadam.
Yeah, eat prasadam and speak prasadam.
Yeah. When you live in the temple, that's very, it must be very easy when you live in the community of devotees. But I was thinking, what advice can you give to the people who live outside, who works outside, who has family members? They're devotees, maybe not engaged totally in a, like in a temple life, but at the same time they have a desire to arrive to that platform. Uh-huh. Could you give them some practical things?
Yeah, well, a couple
things,
practical things. I mean, this is right off the top of my head. Two things. One is, you know, I mentioned about the hearing, you know, taking in those the good vibrations. I was given a gift about 2 years ago by Ekanath, who's the Prabhupada disciples in charge of the Bhaktivedanta archives. He was very, very, in a very excited, happy mood. He approached me just outside on the street there and said, I've got something for you. I said, okay, thank you, you know. And he handed me this little thing. I didn't even know what it was at first because I'm not very tech, you know, computer savvy. But it was like a flash drive. And he handed me it and he said, this is all of Prabhupada's audio from 1967 onwards. And I said, whoa, okay. And then, anyway, I had it for a while. I didn't even use it. Oh, no, I used it on the computer, but it was a little different. Anyway, I got this device that I just put it in there, and it's a speaker, and it plays that thing, and it just plays from one to the next. And it's great. It's that simple, you know. On one little, it's about this is the size of my, not even the size of this finger, and it has all Prabhupada's audio on it. and for $25, $30, you can get a device that plays it. You just push the thing in there and turn on the volume, and boom. So it's really easy now these days, thanks to technology, and to be always hearing. And there's all these good websites, you know, it's called Desire Tree and so many other websites. So the devotees don't have a lot of excuse for not being able to, you know, take advantage of taking in those merciful prasadam vibrations. There's good facility for doing that. And, you know, like there's an expression in the English language, you have to fight fire with fire, right? In other words, we're being bombarded by so much material, so much maya. So we have to use some of that maya to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. That's one point. And the other thing is, there's another expression they say in sports. They say the best defense is a good offense. So what that means is that if you're a devotee, if you're chanting, if you're, you know, these people take opportunities to preach, you know, in your briefcase or in your purse or whatever. Have some little books, have some mantra cards. And when you meet people, you know, you got to come out just a little bit out of the comfort zone. Don't be self-conscious. Just say, hey, I got these far up. You know, say you have like a 25 perfection of yogas in your bag. It takes about this much space. They weigh about 1 pound, okay? And you could just take it out and say, hey, you look like a deep thinker. I got these books on yoga. Would you be interested? That's it. You don't have to preach. I find the less I say, the more effective I am. I just talk myself out of sales. When I try to start preaching to people and, you know, take the role of a preacher or an instructor, they turn off. Unless you're really feeling ecstatic that day, you know. Generally, they turn off. The best thing is just be friendly. Just be friendly. Hey, how's it going? I like your shirt. Whatever, you know. And then you just give them a book and just say, hey, would you want to read that? Great. Check it out. We print them ourselves. If you can pitch in a donation, that'd be awesome. And they either will or they won't. If they do, great. If not, you're out 50 cents, you know. But they got something that could change their whole life. I'll give you an example. Okay, we were coming down from on the way down, we stopped at Eugene, Oregon. So we stopped at this Govinda's restaurant there in Eugene, Oregon, that's been there for 23 years, managed by a Prabhupada disciple named Dharmaraj. So we took prasadam there, and we were in the van, and we're just getting ready to leave, and a devotee comes from outside, from the restaurant. Actually, I was there first, and he came out with Devavrata and Bhakta Zak, and it was Pushpadanta. You know Pushpadanta, right? So he came over, you know, and he was just because he wanted to be friendly and everything. It's not every day devotees pass through Eugene, Oregon. So said a lot of things, but then one point he made was that he became a devotee as a result of getting Beyond Birth and Death. He got that one little book, Beyond Birth and Death. He read it, and just as a result of reading that book, he said, this is it. Count me in. Where is this person? So he went to a temple because his address is in the back, and he said, where do I find this person? He said, well, he's in India. He said, I'm off. I'm going. You know? And they said, well, he'll be here in 2 months. You should stay here, and we'll train you up and blah, blah, blah. You know? So he said, okay. But that one book did it. You see? One book, Beyond Birth and Death. So, you know, don't ever be thinking that this is not significant. No. A perfection of yoga, a Beyond Birth and Death, you know, an easy journey to other planets, all those, an on chanting, the little pamphlet on chanting, that could change a person's life. Actually, you know, due to the very generous donation of somebody, we've been distributing a lot of Science of Self-Realizations very liberally on Sankirtan. And when I give people that book, you know, because a lot of times people say, this is a very common objection to people to say, I'm not a reader, I don't read. I don't know if I'd read it, you know. They don't have money. They don't want to give a donation. I say, look, I said, just take this book. And I said, I just want you to read 3 pages. And I open up to pages 152, where it says, it's the Prabhupada's, that little, you know, what would you call it? Speech instructions he gave about the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. You know, everybody knows one. You know what I'm referring to, right? This transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, as you know, Prabhupada explains what it is. So I show him that, and I say, just read these 3 pages, 152, 153, 154. And we do a mantra meditation. And if you just read these 3 pages, it'll explain to you everything about it. This is the essence. You don't have to read the rest of the book. Just read these 3 pages, and if you like what you read, try it. It's right there. It's right, the meditation we do, it's right there in the last line, the Maha Mantra. You can try it. George Harrison used to chant this. It's, you know, and I just simplify it to that. And I don't know if anybody's doing it, but it feels really good saying it. And I believe that. I believe that, you know, it's wonderful if somebody reads all these books and like knows them, like somebody like Dravida or Vaisheshika. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody just reads those three pages and thinks, yeah, that makes sense, and starts chanting, boom, they're off. That's all you got to do. You don't have to be a great scholar. It's not wrong with that, being a great scholar, a devotional scholar. But even if somebody's really simple and doesn't like to read, if you just read, understand what the Hare Krishna mantra is, and you start chanting it, you're off and running. So that would be my advice, that take the merciful, you know, make some arrangements so you can hear these merciful vibrations all the time. And the best offense, best defense is a good offense. Have a program so you can be giving Krishna to other people rather than have it be mundane. And it's just some simple way that you're comfortable with. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes.